Comedian Marta Chavez once thought she'd become a nun so she could be around women and not have to deal with a family that expected her to like men. But when she became a refugee in Canada, after her native Nicaragua had a revolution, Marta was able to live her full lesbian fantasy in the nightclubs of Montreal. Ooh la 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 la, labia.
Today, comedian Marta Chavez joins us to look at all the things Latinx people share in common, wild queer parties in Nicaragua, and how to fool your parents into thinking you're straight.
Plus, why hasn't vosotros caught on as a gender-neutral pronoun in Spanish the way they-them has in English?
And is Despacito a secret gay love song?
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. También hablamos español.
Feast of Fun is celebrating 3,000 delicious podcast episodes by looking back at our show with some of our most fabulous guests. While we're hitting a major milestone in internet history by the sheer number of podcasts we created over the past 16 years, we aren't sitting back and taking it easy.
We've got a lot of yummy dishes waiting to be served. New podcasts, new Cooking with Drag Queen episodes, and a whole new live streaming show and contest. So we need your help to make it happen. Help us celebrate. Create the streaming show and keep this podcast Feast of Fun going strong into the future by visiting gofundme.com/feastoffun3000 and pledge your support today.
Thank you.
Dinner's ready.
Hi.
Hi, Marta Chavez. This is Fausto.
And Mark.
Fausto, mi amore, ¿cómo estás?
Estoy muy bien, gracias, Marta.
Gracias por tenerme en tu fantástico show.
Well, you're very welcome, mi amor. Say hello to my husband, Mark.
Hi, I'm the esposo.
Ah, yeah, you are the esposo, the Norwegian guy.
Sí.
Yeah.
And you speak Spanish.
Sí, un poquito. Yo paso tiempo en España, México, Perú. Y trabajo con muchos mexicanos y latinos en Chicago en los restaurantes. Yeah.
Pero qué
pero yo también soy Canadian, French Canadian.
Oh, ¿tú es francés canadiense?
Sí, mi padre. Uy. Mi padre es Norwegian, Danish y Franco canadiense.
But Marta, do I pronounce your name Marta or Martha?
However you want.
Well, how do you prefer to be called?
Well, I prefer to be called Marta. The story with my name is that in Nicaragua, my mother thought that it was chic to put an H in my name because she didn't know that we would have to go out in exile and I would have to be explaining to people all the time. No, no, it's Marta with an H. But you don't say it Martha. It's Marta.
Marta. And then it's Chavez with an S, because Chavez with a Z goes Z nuts.
Yeah. Chavez is Chavez with an S, but because Chavez with a Z got nuts. Well, whatever happened to Liza, because my wife and I were sucked into buying a Zoom show for her 75th birthday, but she was nowhere to be seen.
Oh, she'll show up?
No, is she sick or something? A lot of celebrities came and sang and some of her most famous songs.
Oh, wow.
And she never showed. They never show her at home looking at the show or anything. So we think that maybe she's sick or something.
Oh, I had heard about that show. And I mean, they had quite the stellar lineup of different celebrities and whatnot going to be on it. But I didn't realize that she was a no-show for it.
No show. So then we started imagining the most horrendous things. Liza sitting like bent on a chair, saliva falling out of her mouth.
Oh.
Ay, Dios mío.
Ay, Dios mío.
Well, you know, I hope to one day be famous and successful enough not to have to show up for my own podcast.
Birthday party, yeah. Hey, no excuse. Nobody said anything.
We're all here now. Marta, how did you get from Nicaragua to Canada? Did your parents, like, move y'all from when you were kids?
No, what happened was I was 17, right? Uh-huh. And then I had finished high school, and the revolution was going on in Nicaragua, and it was it was a thing that young people from children from La Bourgeoisie even would join the revolution.
Yeah.
I didn't though, because I was discovering my own revolution, which was I was dabbling in lesbianism already. And
so your revolution was a sexual revolution.
Exactly. Not only a sexual revolution, it was una novicia, this novice.
Oh, because you were wanting to become a nun.
Yeah.
Because for you, it's like it was either marry a man or be a nun. And you're like, being around with women and having male names like Sister Michael, Sister John,
Sister Patrick
yeah. Sounds really good.
As long as you put Mary, no, like the thing is that my first girlfriend was a novice, like a woman who wanted to become a nun. And my mother found out. So because she read it in my diary and then she shipped me to Montreal, you know, like that we had a relative living in Montreal. And she decided that to cure me from my budding lesbianism, she was going to send me away. And then she sends me to Montreal.
What did she think? Like the maple syrup was going to distract you from vagina?
Well, because it was stickier than.
Can you imagine? And have you seen the women in Montreal? It was like, Montreal is like Disneyland for lesbians.
What are some of the rides?
Some of the rides, Joanne.
Honey, I imagine you got there and you got a fast pass.
Yeah, well, you know what happened? I get there. In Nicaragua, the gay, in those days, you know, like early 80s, the gay community existed only as outcasts. Like, for example, I went with another girlfriend, not the nun. I went to parties in places that was pure bacchanalia. You know, like the owner of the bordello was at the party as the son of the most rich man in Nicaragua. It was like, if you're gay, you're all going to be together in a place where sex may or may not take place. It was like a degenerate experience.
All right.
Hold on a second. So, Marta, your mother moved you from Nicaragua to Montreal, hoping that the sticky maple syrup would distract you from your lustful desires for other women, but put you into a living situation where you were with other lesbians from Nicaragua in Canada.
No.
That happened before Nicaragua.
Oh, I see. So that was in Nicaragua.
No, what I was saying is that in Montreal, I discovered gay bars. I discovered going to my first gay bar, and it was like I had arrived in my country. Mm. You know, it was like, I don't want to move from here. Give me my papers in this bar. Because it was a place like where you could hold hands with your girlfriend, which was like something unheard of. In Nicaragua. So then my parents had to go in exile to Guatemala. And, I remained in limbo, in immigration limbo here, because my student visa was going to expire. So it was a long story, but the thing is that somebody told me, why don't you apply for political refugee status because of your parents? My parents had worked for Somoza, for the dictator. So they left from Nicaragua with the clothes that they had on. That's it. So my parents, they couldn't support me anymore in Canada or anything. But because I was already shacking up with this woman, I decided to stay and... Yeah, I was so young. I was 17, you know, like, so I didn't know what it was, you know, political refugee status. And I didn't know anything. I didn't even speak English or French. So but I decided to stay. So I waited for about 2-3 years with a stateless passport. And then I stayed. And then my parents, they didn't want to move here because my mother and my father were lawyers. And it was going to be way too much to learn again the law, not even that, learn the language, learn the law, incorporate. So they incorporated in Guatemala and they made their life there, and I made my life here.
But so before you went to Canada, though, you went to these wild gay parties in Nicaragua?
Yeah, but they were like, they were, as I said, they were totally like Emperor Nero.
Really? Tell us about it.
it was like, imagine a 16-year-old kid. I went with, not with the nun, but with another girlfriend that I had. And it was, as I said, you know how in Latin America the social classes are very divided?
Mm-hmm.
But here, no, here everybody, the only thing that, it was very democratic, yeah. As I said. The owner del burdel would be partying with the son of the major oligarch in Nicaragua, and you could see people having sex in public, men mm-hmm. having sex in public, drugs were passing by, like you know, it was like we are a subculture, so we will do all of our subculturing here.
Oh wow!
You know, so then when I found lesbians in a lesbian bar in Montreal, that it was a lot more tame. I was so happy.
You know? You got to bring that Nicaragua flavor to the party nightlife there.
I was so happy that it's where are you from? You're from Puerto Rico.
I'm from Puerto Rico, and like you, you know, I struggled learning the language, but my struggles was with Spanish.
Yeah.
And I was born speaking Spanish, and my family, everybody in my family speaks Spanish, but and I was explaining this before we started taping the show to Mark. It's like, if you think English is a complicated language, you should look at Spanish, because the verb conjugation requires a rocket science degree in rocket science. It's extremely complicated.
Yeah, it's complicated because everything has a gender.
Well, not necessarily. There is vosotros.
Sí, exacto. Right? Pero, por ejemplo, la mesa.
Yeah.
El carro. La casa.
Well, that's the nouns, right? So they gender the car, the table, the house. The nouns,
but yeah. the verb conjugation changes, but when the noun changes, it's a complicated language. But I would say it's a lot less complicated than English, in the sense that in English you don't read like you write.
Well, let me read this to the audience and see if you still agree, okay? So this is the verb to speak, which is what we're doing, right? Hablar.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And this is these are some of the conjugations, just this is like a third of the chart here, okay? Yo hablo, yo hablé, which is in the past to speak. Yo hablaba, uh-huh. I had spoken. Yo hablaré. And then there's tú hablas, hablaste, hablabas, hablarás. And then
hablarías, even.
Hablarías, right?
Hablarías, uh-huh.
Ella habla, habló, hablaba, hablará. And then it starts getting really complicated with nosotros and vosotros, which is like us, but then the informal version of us. Habláis, hablasteis, hablabláis, hablaréis.
There's a lot of blah, blah in that hablar. But you know what? and it's complicated because in English, whether you know the person or don't know it, or whether it's plural or singular, is you, period. You don't change. You know what I mean? The pronoun, the you know what I mean? The noun you is you. Ustedes, whereas in Spanish can be usted, you, tú. Usted.
Right. And so because we're sort of talking a lot about the word Latinx with an X, why isn't there a movement? And I don't know, maybe I don't understand this. And Larry LaFontaine or Marga Gomez can also chime in on this too. Is why are we not using vosotros or vosotras, right? As a gender neutral y'all, you know, kind of because in the South, instead of saying you or you all, they say y'all, which can be singular or plural, and it's gender neutral.
Yeah, and I don't know. Vosotros is not even that. In Spain, they use it.
It's vosotros. When I was a kid, it made our skin crawl to use it. So it'd be something, you know, it would be something popular to use today because it's weird,
mm-hmm.
and weird is always good. And it's not something that's used in Latin America.
Well, Uruguay, I think they use vos, right?
So it's in some cultures, in some regions do, mm-hmm. but generally speaking, not in Puerto Rico and definitely not in Mexico. You're not going to hear, ¿qué hacen vos?
No, ¿qué hacéis vosotros? Pero, por ejemplo, en Nicaragua, como yeah. en Argentina,
yeah.
in Nicaragua and Argentina, we don't say tú, we say vos.
Vos.
And the conjugation of the verb changes. Like, for example, tú tienes, vos tenés. It is complicated. This is complicated.
Just like gender.
No? Exactly. Just like gender. Imagine now. Now there is a ellos, ellas, ellas, instead of ellos y ellas, because the masculine is the norm.
So considering that, you know, and I don't know if you have an answer for this, but I know that you've written a lot of thought pieces on this topic, is, you yeah. know, for the variety of experiences and cultures we have, whether you're from Nicaragua or Puerto Rico or Argentina or España or Brazil or Mexico, we want to use a word to describe us all together. In the past, the word Hispanic was tossed around, Latino, Latina, and now we're sort of trying to see if the word Latinx fits yeah. right.
I think the word Latinx is great because the X is like the X-Men. It gives us a superpower. And also, we are so, the variety of us is so incredible that that the X could be like, we don't know where you are, from Puerto Rico, from Mexico. Like, but for Americans, we are all Mexican. So the problem is solved.
Well, you were saying like that was it, Nixon came up with Hispanic because he couldn't use the word beaner.
Oh, wow. Is that it? No, well, Hispanic has been in vogue, but it doesn't describe us all. Because Brazilians speak Portuguese. So Hispanic is, it refers to the language.
Right, right.
So it doesn't speak about all of the Latin America.
So it's, why do you think there is such a resistance to using or adopting the term Latinx?
I don't know, because Latinx people have a hard head, that's why.
I mean, we can't even agree on how to pronounce it. Is it Kleenex, like Latinx, or Latinx?
Latinx.
It's Latinx.
Because some other people pronounce it like Kleenex.
Yeah, or Latinx, I would say. But that's when you're very aware, I think.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That, like, for example, I don't assume that in Latin America, the average, in Central America, the average person would like be contemplating Latinx or Latino, like they have other problems, you know?
Well, and part of it is like identity is tied to, you know, your struggles with food and housing and political power and visibility and safety, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But language is going through, I think, a major transformation. Which with the pronouns for people, well, like in English too, like in any, mm-hmm. like people are resistant. The same people that can learn all the sport averages, like from baseball, football, and all that, they for some reason they cannot assimilate to call somebody they or them if they so wish. You know,
mm-hmm,
oh,
mm-hmm.
because I get confused. It's idiotic.
Except when he's talking about cheating on his girlfriend. Then it's suddenly yeah. them and they. Very easy yeah, with that.
I went out. I was talking to a client and they, so they don't say that it's a woman. And they said that I had a very, very interesting penis. But anyway.
What do all Latinx people share in common? Or do we share anything in common?
Bitterness and wretchedness. No, you know what I think all Latinx people have in common is this, I think it's the desire to make things better by humor, I think.
Really, it's our sense of humor.
It's our senses of humor, although they are different from region to region. But for example, I love Puerto Rican people. I used to to work for the Latin American Expos Wives a long time ago in the 90s. And there was the wife of one of los peloteros from Puerto Rico, Iván Calderón. I don't know if you know him.
Oh, he's friends with me on Facebook. No, I'm just kidding.
No, well, they shot him for some reason.
Oh, shit.
But his wife, he will go, Malta. Malta. No, esa persona me cae mar. And then I would say to her, but why can you pronounce the R when you say mal and you cannot pronounce Marta to say Marta?
Well, to caer mal means that he is like food. It's not going down well.
No, I know, but she
it's
say,
giving me indigestion, that person.
But she will say mar instead of mal.
Oh, but, yeah, that's the Portuguese influence in Puerto Rico.
Caer mal.
So everybody thinks, you know, Latin America is just like Spanish, Native, and African, and that's the end of the story, right? Or Portuguese, you know, Native, and African. But, you know, at least in Puerto Rico and Mexico, and I'm sure this is true for most regions, there is Asian influence, there is German, which is not Spanish or Iberian influence. And in Puerto Rico, there's a strong Portuguese influence, and that's why we drop all our syllables and
bacalao,
asopao, you know. if you think of Puerto Ricans speaking Spanish as just another flavor of or the influence of Portuguese, then everything starts to make sense.
I love the Puerto Ricans because it's muy sabroso. It's rico la manera que hablan. But I would tease this friend and I would say, but why can you say the word mal with an R? But when you say the word Marta, you have to put an L.
Malta, India.
Malta, and then
do you know what Malta India is?
No, it's a beverage.
It's malt. It's not malt liquor. It's basically malt liquor, but that's not fermented. It's non-alcoholic. It is like a cola drink made out of sugar syrup.
Yeah, it almost tastes like if molasses were a beverage.
And it's Malta kids India. Love it, and it'll give you diabetes one bottle. I mean, it's full. It's like super, 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 super sweet. Malta and as kids, India. We love that shit. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nobody actually called me Malta. Pero si busqué, mira, Malta, tú le vas a tener que ir a hablarle a todo Puerto Rico. Because that's the way we talk. But I love that. I love your music. It's amazing.
Well, you know, that's the thing. It's like, you know, in the recent years, reggaeton has become this unstoppable cultural force that has eclipsed pretty much everything else. And, you know, like you talk to any Latinx person about Despacito and they all cringe, except me.
Yeah.
I unapologetically love Despacito, but I was late into the game. And so in my mind, Mark actually is the one who pointed this out.
To me, like when I listen to Despacito, I'm like, this is a gay love song between two men talking about anal sex.
Despacito?
Yes.
Despacito is the way I wanted to kill Trump.
Slowly.
But if you think about it, like, si sabes que ya llevo un rato mirándote. Says, I've been keeping an eye on you. For a while. Yeah. Tengo que bailar contigo hoy. And it's like, I have to dance with you today. And then it gets kind of racy. It goes, tú eres el imán, you're the magnet, and I'm the metal.
Wow.
Voy acercando y armando el plan. I'm developing a plot to get together with you.
Yeah, y pensarlo where hacer... do you get that? Where do you, does that go from an invitation to a... rendezvous to anal sex. Only
because it's like, well, quiero desnudarte a besos despacito. I want to get you naked with my kisses, and I want to firmar las paredes de tu laberinto. I want to, you know, sign the walls of your labyrinth.
Oh, yeah.
I want to hacer tu cuerpo todo un manuscrito. Which is, I want to ejaculate all over your body as if it was writing.
Can you imagine? This is a gay guy way of thought.
I just don't see like a heterosexual man singing that to a woman.
And it's two men singing it to each other.
And it's
Come
two
on.
Men. They stick the woman in the video in Old San Juan in La Perla just to make it look less gay. But it's she's yeah. nowhere in the video. Like she is nowhere in
she
the video.
She doesn't sing any of the songs.
She's just like, you guys do you. And so what's interesting about it is that the record label got Luis Fonsi to do the song. And it was written by a woman, and then they required by I guess him to collaborate with Daddy Yankee, and then the record label said we're going to get Justin Bieber on this.
Well, because Justin Bieber heard it and was like, I want to do something.
But basically, it was engineered to be an unstoppable cultural force, and up till recently, I think it was like the most watched music video on YouTube. It's the most for wow. a while. It was the most played song globally. There are versions of that song in all over the world. Every culture has, you can go on YouTube and watch, you know, like a conjunto version, any cultural, any musical style. You can hear Despacito. You could see some guys blowing like a pen. What is it? Bottles.
Mm-hmm.
They're going, tu, 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 tu. You know, in Peru.
I'm sure there's a Nicaraguan version.
Yeah, there's literally a version of every single culture of Despacito. And I don't. Mm. And part of it was because people were like, at the time, making their own version of that song made their content go viral. So it was like it became a situation where if you were a musician and you did a cover of Despacito, you got to be seen and heard and also be part of that juggernaut, that unstoppable force.
Oh, yeah. You know, well, Linda, she listens to this violinist I don't know if it's Facebook or what, but she pays to listen. She has groupies, the violinist.
Yeah.
And that's one of the songs in her repertoire. So it's true. They are.
But, you know, do you feel like a mixed reaction? Do you feel like a little sense of cringeness? Like, I know that some of the listeners right now are just like, oh my God, you're talking about Despacito again. Like,
why are you obsessed with Despacito?
I think it's a beautiful song. It's a beautiful gay love song, you know?
Yeah.
Hiding in plain sight.
Well, you know, it's like we have this love and hate with Bieber because he's Canadian.
Oh, that's right.
He's Canadian, and we always learn, you know, like, Canadian show business is like that, you know, one of us left and then went to the States and became huge. And we have grown, he has grown with us because we've been seeing him playing the pots and pans of her mom on YouTube and then become this boy that was embarrassing in Canada for a while. And now he's back to be, I think he became a Christian now.
Oh, brother. But I think his priest or his reverend got kicked out of that church. I'm not sure exactly why, though.
Oh, wow. Well,
something
we haven't
happened.
Heard that one.
But he had a really nice body.
I know that he went to Guatemala, Justin Bieber, and he was buying something. There's a street meat outside. Like he stopped to buy something outside, and then he took off his shoes and gave them to the chiclero, to the man who sells gum.
Aww.
And he said, yeah, you sell these ones. We're going to, I'm a famous person, you sell them. They're going to give you a lot of money. El pobre chiclero. Que no sabe quién puta es Justin Bieber. And then they would say, here, take the shoes. So that's an anecdote. I don't know how loyal to the truth it is. But, well, you know, I wouldn't put it past him. He had a wild time, Justin.
Well, you know, yeah. I'm glad that anytime people celebrate Puerto Rican culture, or Latinx culture, and Despacito is a song that sort of broke a lot of barriers. Even though Daddy Yankee is a Republican Trump supporter. Can you imagine?
What?
I know.
Daddy Yankee?
Yes, honey. He's
gasolina.
Luis Fonsi, the gasolina. Luis Fonsi cannot stand him. In fact, they wouldn't even like hang out together at the Grammys. And I think that's actually like part of the reason they didn't win Song of the Year when it was up for the award.
Wow.
But eso, yeah, eso es chisme.
Eso es chisme. No se
that's
sabe
gossip.
We don't know whether it's true, but it could be. I mean, he was asking for gasolina. What more Republican than that? Republicans invade countries.
So for people not familiar, Daddy Yankee is the kind of the credited with coming up with the reggaeton rhythm, which is still a clave rhythm, right? So clave is ta 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 ta, but reggaeton just has the ta 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 ta. So it's like the first half of the. Oh no, the second half of pa 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 pa. So, anyways, with that rhythm, it is so sticky. It is such an earworm, and it's so. Yeah. I remember when I first heard Gasolina in Puerto Rico, and I was just like, "This song is going to destroy the world."
Yeah, and it did.
It is like it is. It is, you know, and I don't know. Like maybe it's just the nature of the times we live in. But and I think people and now started kind of moving past reggaeton music. But for a while, that's all anybody wanted to play. And part of it was tied to Dirty Dancing. It was tied to like being outrageous and sexual. And so it gave youth culture something to rebel against. You know, they were like humping each other's butts and stuff like that.
Yeah. You know who I like? I like DJ Balvin from Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't know him. It's not that he listened to reggaeton, but there is a very nice documentary about him on Netflix. And we started listening to him, and Linda, my wife, has been like doing the choir thing. Pacata, pacata, placata. Pacata, placata. But it's, you know what? It's like everybody, at least in Guatemala, anybody that you hear that has music in the car is reggaeton. In the radio stations is reggaeton. It's very sticky, like they call it pegajoso. Muy pegajoso, pero Puerto Rico has a lot more music than reggaeton.
Of course, you know.
So. Oh, it's wonderful, yeah.
Well, there's also a thing that this documentary that came out on Hulu that, you know, people were talking about it. We're actually doing a whole podcast about it in the coming weeks. It's called The Summer of Soul, and it was the basically the.
I saw it.
Did you see it?
Yes.
And I thought it was really fascinating because it took place in 1969. I think a few weeks before or after the Stonewall riots.
Well, it was during that summer.
During that summer.
Yeah, during the summer, yeah.
And so you know, the nation was on pins and needles. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated the year beforehand, and the governor of New York decided that a great way to sort of heal the racial divide in the country is to invest money and do music concerts that were free in Harlem. And so they brought in every A-lister at the time in their prime, in their beginning of their careers, fresh face. You have Stevie Wonder, Gladys Knight and the Pips and all these amazing artists.
Even Nina Simone.
And Nina Simone. And you also had a strong Puerto Rican impact there. And it was interesting how Puerto Rican musicians in New York City were, and even the Puerto Rican flag was a symbol of civil rights at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's beautiful. But then you have Mark Anthony.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You have Lin-Manuel.
Well, they were not alive at the time.
No, I know.
But now.
I know. Yeah. I know. But I mean, besides that, that music... of the beginning, you have Marc Anthony, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Walter Mercado.
Did you grow up watching, or did your family grow up watching Walter Mercado?
No, because I didn't. But in trips to Miami to see family that lives there and everything, I have seen my aunt watching Walter Mercado. But I love the documentary on him.
Yeah, that was great.
It was a great documentary, and it moved me a lot when Lin-Manuel comes to visit and they yell to each other, Boricua! as a recognition.
Well, I would love to see Lin-Manuel Miranda do like a Walter Mercado musical instead of Hamilton.
It's probably coming.
You know?
Oh, yeah. It's probably coming because why was he at Walter Mercado's house?
Mucho, mucho amor. Well, Walter.
Mucho amor. You didn't like Hamilton?
I thought it was interesting. You know, I feel like In the Heights was a really interesting musical. I just feel like Lin-Manuel Miranda is kind of a victim of his own success, that he doesn't have a lot of time to put into the projects that he's doing, you know? And for all the like inclusivity and complexity that Hamilton had when In the Heights was turned into a film, they kind of just, you know, they were like, oh, just stick four skinny people in the leads. And, well, Latinx people, we are thick.
You know, and the thing with Walter is too, in that documentary, he never really comes out of the closet or anything, but you do see that he's got, like, they show like the books on his bookshelf, and some of the books are very clearly queer
books.
Doesn't
he have like The Joy of Gay Sex? In
I forget which one it is, but yeah, there was definitely,
he definitely has ties to gay culture, queer culture, you know?
But it's like, was his name Liberace never came out of the closet?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and part of it is, you know, with Walter Mercado, he, you know, was out by being flamboyant. And for queer people, like the whole concept of coming out, that's a kind of a very Western North American kind of concept for him. You know, in terms of Puerto Rican culture, you know, we have native religion, which got demolished and erased. We have Catholicism.
Yeah.
We have Pentecostal, you know, we have Testigo de Jehová, but there's a faith that people don't talk about, which is a combination of Christianity, Buddhism, New Age, essential oils you can buy at Whole Foods, UFOs, and Egyptology and past life regression. And that sometimes they call themselves the Asociación Teosófica, which means study of God. Mm-hmm. And Walter Mercado and my father and my grandfather were all kind of these kind of people who like they were sort of wanting to bridge the diversity of faith and experiences into one unified whole, but they were eager to sort of like pull in any kind of random fringe theory, including UFOs and Egyptology and past life regression, yoga, Reiki, transcendental meditation, multiple orgasms, orgies, you know.
My masseuse in Guatemala, she has a crucifix, she has a Buddha. She has the elephant girl. What is his name again?
Ganesh.
Ganesh. She has Ganesh. And the other side, she has the Virgin Mary. And I go, you're not taking any chances, are you?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I would say that's the true faith of Latinx people, is this hodgepodge of cultures. But it definitely has a very strong Indian, because, you know, there's a strong Indian influence in the Caribbean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Maya.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. But the Pentecostals say that all of that is witchery.
But they don't care. You know, the same people that say is witcheries, they will be watching Walter Mercado on television.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so there's a little bit of inconsistency and hypocrisy. But when have Christians not been inconsistent and hypocritical?
Hypocrisy. That's the brand. That's the brand. But... Yeah, but I didn't know that the poor thing had died broke and everything.
Well, when you're a millionaire, broke is a relative term. And I'm sure there was banks willing to lend him money. So it's you know, for him, it's like, listen, those gowns aren't cheap, you know?
Because he did make a lot of money.
He was very rich at one point in time.
Didn't somebody rip him off to to zero?
His manager, I'm not sure how broke he was, but if Walter was smart, he probably had some Swiss bank accounts.
Oh, yeah, but he couldn't disclose.
He was an international star.
Well, and, you know, these late-night religious figures are all kind of, you know, squirreling away money someplace. So he might have said he was broke just so he didn't have to pay taxes, you know?
Exactly. But, you know, like, his business, like, if he had been alive during COVID, his business would have completely failed, because look, every horoscope, you are going to be locked up.
You're not going anywhere.
You're not going anywhere. Nobody's traveling here. How is it where you live, where you're living? You're in San Francisco.
No,
right?
we're in Chicago.
Chicago.
We are back on the face mask mandate. So if you go into a building or any kind of establishment, you're supposed to be wearing a mask.
Oh, yeah. Like I approve of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad you do.
But we're vaccinated. All of our friends are vaccinated. So
it is sort of a pandemic of people who don't believe in science.
Yes.
And we're all paying the price at this point. And, you know, Goldman Sachs actually this week made an announcement saying they're going to be requiring all their employees to be vaccinated or have proof for other medical reasons that they can't be vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Just the same way that if you want to work with children or the elderly, you have to be vaccinated. And as a consequence,
you don't have to be vaccinated to work with the elderly.
I understood that you had to.
No, there's people that are working in nursing homes that are not vaccinated.
Well, they might.
Wow.
Yeah. But anyways, so Goldman Sachs making that announcement is putting pressure on large corporations in the United States to sort of implement that same policy, because they're the bank. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And when the bank wants something done, then it gets done.
Yeah. And you know what? There are a lot of them because Trumpism and the Q people and all of that, they have come to our borders here in Canada.
Ay, Dios mío.
Hay muchos canadienses anti-maskers. And because I have 23 hours to kill during the day before I do my show at night, and I wasn't doing any shows at the time. So I will go to the anti-masker protests, and I am completely masked. I have my baseball cap and my glasses, and I will just go and insult them. And then they will try to film me. And I go, well, you won't know who I am. I am masked, which is one of the perks of wearing a mask. All of these people have been saying that the government is spying on us, that there are cameras all over the place. Yeah, it's true. Well, and why don't you want to wear a mask then?
Mm.
A mask is the perfect disguise.
The mask is very sexy.
It's very sexy, like the double chin. Do you think I have a double chin with my mask? Absolutely not.
But you also have to make sure.
I'm a woman of mystery. No pelican is shown with a mask.
Well, also make sure that you cover your ears, because that digital photography, that's one of the key things they look at is your ears, because your ears are very, very unique.
Mark is a specialist in cryptozoology.
Well, that's something I read years ago. Yeah, they can tell a lot by your ear.
You read it in a pamphlet in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. I'm serious.
You overheard it at a cocktail party.
No, I read it. So that's one of the things you want to make sure you cover up is your ears.
Or just earmuffs or long hair.
Yeah, well, in Canada, you can.
I'm not doing any crimes. But I have been in situations at the bank in which I wonder, when is it going to happen that one of these masked people are going to come and rob the bank? But now there is no point in robbing the bank, because nobody has any money per se in the bank. So, but it has been a very interesting time.
Yeah.
My father-in-law, Linda's father, he passed away from COVID.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. So we have had a casualty in the family. So that's why I get so upset with all of these anti-maskers people.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we are coming out of it. I promised that I'm going to go meet you in person.
Are you going to come visit us?
Well, someday I will, but when I go to Chicago, I don't play much in the United States, because, you know, you have to have a special visa that it costs $10,000.
What?
No, you can do that. Si. You can do si. Something else.
You have to sneak in.
Yeah, it just has to sneak in, honey. Or just perform for free, you know?
Yeah, I can just say that I'm performing for free. The thing is that once one Canadian comic got caught, and he was banned from entering the United States 5 years. So I had another kind of visa, like a P1 instead of the one, because I had I was doing some translation for Le Cirque du Soleil. So I could go, but it never really happened. In the early 2000s, my aim was to move to the States. And then I went to Los Angeles. I had a bunch of meetings and stuff. But I thought, I don't like it here.
Because you kind of you came out like during the middle of your comedy career, right?
Yeah, because I was married to this guy. I got married to help a friend. And I couldn't be going around saying, oh, but MLS, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And also, as a performer, it was difficult for me to, because they were seeing somebody with an accent.
Yeah.
Already, and somebody ethnic with an accent. That was a lot. In those days, Gloria from Modern Family was not present yet. So, I'm not even kidding that when she came out in the picture and people have heard a Spanish accent here, I didn't have to explain anymore anything about my accent. So I had the ethnicity and the accent to deal with. If I added the cunnilingus to the equation, it would have been complicated for them to understand. But I never did talk about men.
Mm.
You know, like when sometimes you are in the closet and then my boyfriend this, my boyfriend that. No, my material is different than that. But then when I came out, it was liberating.
Mm. What was that decision or process like? Was it something long time coming? You just said, all right, today's the day. I'm just going to come out on stage.
No, it was just like organic. Mm. It was just like organic, like... I remember when Ellen came out, we did a huge show in Montreal, and then everybody who was gay but not talking about it were in the show. and also, you know what I mean? I have never had what the kids have now that is called safe rooms, in which you cannot talk about homophobia. You cannot be homophobic. You cannot be a misogynist. You cannot talk. You're gonna say rape jokes. You have to be sympathetic to the disabled and to the foreigner. All of that, like the kids, the younger comics, they have that. I cut my teeth on the roads of Canada, all over the place, even in places that Latinos were baby Speedy Gonzalez. At the time, right? So it was in some places I would have been afraid to say I'm gay. But now I'm not afraid anywhere.
Mm.
Well, I'm happy that you're able to come out and fall in love and get married to a beautiful woman.
Oh,
yeah. Make tortillas.
She's tortillas. She's
Do you know what that is? In Mexico, that's a slang for lesbianism.
I know. That's why I use it. Tortillera.
Because you're smacking each other's bodies back and forth.
Exactly. This is the smack, the sound that RuPaul makes. Listen, gay
Tap
boys.
That pussy.
Make her tortillas nice and hot.
Mm-hmm.
Nice and hot tortillas. But, how long have you been out, Fausto?
I came out at a very young age. I came out at the age of 17. And
in public, I mean.
And publicly, yeah. I came out at the age of 17 in the 80s. And when I was a child, there's this wonderful photo that I just posted on social media. My father one morning, he's like, you could dress yourself. Go ahead and dress yourself. And I went, and you know, my clothes were also in my parents' bedroom.
Why?
And I took, because I would sleep in the little bed there, you know, it's like that we didn't have enough bedrooms, right? So I was a little bit, you know, I was 4 years old or very young, right? And so I went and grabbed like a rugby polo shirt that was like a rainbow and red shorts, which were very cute, and pink socks.
Aww.
And my father thought that was hilarious. And he he said he looked great. So he posed me in front of the house and had me take these photos, you know.
I better go see them right away.
And to me, it's like, it's a
little gay boy.
It's a little gay boy whose father normally didn't approve of my gender nonconforming ways. But, you know, this was before my sister was born, who stole the heart of my father. But, you know, for a little short period of time, I was the center of my father's universe.
And
my mother and my father loved me dearly. My mother's best friend from high school is playwright Terrence McNally. And so he came out as gay in the 1970s to my mother via correspondence. Mm. And so for me, it's like I had a lot of love and a lot of acceptance. Even though I was fearing that my family would reject me, it made it very easy for me to come out as gay at a very, very young age. And so I have a blessing that I've had my entire life not being in the closet for the most part.
Wow. Yeah, that's great. I had, after the Catholicism, my family became born again, Pentecostals in Guatemala. My brother is a minister. And I had the fight about we are going to hell. My act that I sent you reflects that, you know, like we're going to hell and all of that. But I did finally fully came out to my mother before she passed in 2006. Like she always knew. She always said, well, those roommates, they're very friendly with you. No roommate of mine ever missed me.
But did your parents or family say vete para el demonio, go to the demon, go to hell, or vete para el carajo,
which is a
remote island off the coast of South America.
Yeah, like vete para el carajo. You have to go. You have to fly through the Bermuda Triangle when they send you al carajo.
And, you know, when we were kids, and I think to this day, vete para el carajo is a cuss word.
Yeah, el carajo is, vaya hacia la mierda.
A la mierda means going to the shit, but vete para el carajo is literally a location. It would be like saying, go to Florida.
Go to hell.
But it's synonymous with like hell. It's a place where people, you know, in the history of colonialism, European people be like, oh, carajo is a wonderful island full of riches, you know.
But you know, well, they never sent me el carajo like that, but there was always the fight. Always, like, because hiding things, hiding your sexuality from, like, I read the letters when my mother passed. I read the letters that I sent her. Fiction.
Well, you got to do what makes you safe, right?
Yeah, but I even got married with that friend in order to help him for his immigration, but also to help me to show pictures to my mother that I was married to a guy, so that she could show them to her friend. But it was crazy, you know, because now I wonder, maybe we would have become friends if I had just no care. And then when she was sick, she passed of cancer in the brain. The church of my brother came to pray to the house, and they were like about 30 people, and they brought a pastor from Tennessee that was visiting in Guatemala. And the first thing the motherfucker said was, it's so nice to be here with all the family praying for the health of Gloria. It's great to have family because we know the devil is getting rid of the family because the homosexuals and the lesbian. And then I left and I was really hurt. I was really hurt that none of my fucking siblings, whom I love and they love me, said to me, none of them said to me, but how did that make you feel? Mm-hmm. I felt so lonely, the loneliness of being there, my mother dying and everything, and this idiot comes and say that, and they were all reunited, and the people that knew looked at me, and the people that suspected looked at me, and I levitated right out of the premises.
Well, I guarantee you, your mother did not die because you were gay.
No, I know that, but it was a huge rejection moment, and then I just that I just, you know, like everything, I just forgave them. Because what I couldn't forgive, it was that neither my sister, who has always known, nor my two brothers, who I have never had any beef with them about that, couldn't say, I'm so sorry, sister, that that guy said that. Mm. How do you feel? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's, you feel like you're not supported by them.
By no. Like, it was a very lonely point. But now, even my 80-year-old aunt knows, they all say hello to Linda. Mm. And everything, and so life became better, really.
Mm. But the world has changed, out. Yeah.
And the world has changed. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when you...
Now, if you're not a lesbian, you're like a bad person.
Totally. You have to have minimum 6 cats.
I have noticed that they're like in youth culture today, everybody's kind of like... You know, you remember lesbian chic in the 90s when being lesbian was cool, and women in entertainment were like Madonna, you know, like making out with women or going out with dates with women, even though they were more interested in men, you know, they did not identify as bisexual. They were just sort of exploring.
Flirtatious.
Yeah. And today I think, you know, like Lollapalooza took place here in Chicago. And all these young people were like wearing makeup and looking like they were in drag and looking very, very queer and non-binary and gender non-conforming. And they're all like, you know, it's the wave of the times.
It's the wave of the time.
Yeah.
It's the wave of the time. I've even been thinking about myself being non-binary because, well, I don't own a dress because you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't own a dress. Mm-hmm. And I'm dead inside. I'm just like a guy. So you know what I mean?
Why not?
I really, because there is all sorts of non-binaries. I can be non-binary and yet love makeup.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's this gender fluidity is good. It's good, I think. My friend from Nicaragua, he writes me and he says, I got to tell you something that I haven't said to anybody. My son wants to become a woman.
Aww.
And imagine, this is from Nicaragua. And then his family, they are all very Catholic and also is going through that. And he says, well, I'm praying that he changes his mind.
Oh.
And then I started thinking, do people change their... Exactly like lesbian chic.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who will change their minds eventually.
Mm.
Well, I say this, that, you know, because a lot of people do write to us and to me who have queer non-binary children.
You have queer non-binary children.
You know, and they want to know about what to do. And I said, there's a lot of great resources on the internet to, you know, navigate this. And definitely going into counseling if you can, just to increase, you know, sometimes people think of seeing a therapist as like curing you of your mental state or something. And you're like, there's nothing wrong with me. Why do I need to be cured? It's about increasing communication. And so any way that you can create space to listen and to learn and to love unconditionally is going to improve the lives of yourself and your children. And
that's what I said to him, you know, because he said, I'm losing my son. Yeah, but if you don't support him, you will lose him.
But I don't know if it's that, you know, I think people think too much in terms of support and it's to see.
Yeah.
Into
you don't see him.
It's to see a person, is to be enthusiastic. There's a difference between tolerance and enthusiasm. I want people to be enthusiastic about Marta Chavez with an S, not Chavez with a Z, because Chavez with a Z goes z nuts.
I like that. Fausto, I'm going to incorporate in my act that.
Okay.
Oh, well, you gotta give me a credit.
And Liza Minnelli some credit, too.
Yeah.
Fausto made a pact with the devil. You know that.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You know, something that a lot of people don't know, it's I designed the lesbian pride flag on this podcast.
No.
So well, there was an article on Time Magazine about cougars.
Uh-huh.
And I said, what about the lipstick lesbians? You know, why don't they get their pride flag? And so we took the bear pride flag and changed it so it was shades of lipstick. So it was warm tones and cool tones of red in the bottom with a white stripe in the middle and a pair of lips on the top left. And
I'm gonna see it.
And lesbians loved it so much, they claimed it as their own. But I have the copyright. I have the timestamps. I have the receipts. And it's evolved into what the lesbian pride flag is today, which is two stripes of red, orange, and orange, a white stripe, a pink stripe, and a purple stripe.
Wow, I gotta see it. It sounds beautiful.
We'll send it to you.
I'll send it to you. Yeah.
Send it to me, boys.
Marta.
Bueno, mi amor, ya terminamos. Pasó una hora.
Y colorín colorado, este podcast se ha acabado.
Se ha acabado. You have a good time.
Thank you so much, Martha. It's been a pleasure to chat
Martha,
with you.
Marta, Marta.
Didn't I say that?
No, you said Martha.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Pero te gustó, Fausto.
Me encantó.
Oh.
Okay, mi amor. Okay. Que te haya gustado. Don't be a stranger, please.
Stay in touch, my dear.
You too. Okay.
Because I know Puerto Rican judo.
You know Puerto Rican judo.
You know what that is? You don't know what kind of crazy shit I'm going to pull.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, you don't know exactly. Baboso. Gracias, mi amor. Thank you very much for this. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, and hopefully one day we will meet.
Awesome.
Cuídate, mi amor.
Tú también.
Adios.
Adios.
Marta Chavez lives in Canada. Oh, Canada. I think she's in Toronto.
She is in Toronto.
Toronto. Mm-hmm. And Canada.
And you can follow her on the internet to comedian Martha Chavez on Instagram is a good place to follow her.
She's on Christian Mingles, too.
Sure she is. I want to remind folks that we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus because your contribution to this show is what makes this show happen.
And honey, we are trying to raise $3,000 for our 3,000th show. Go to gofundme.com/feastoffun3000. And if you've listened to quite a few, how about a dollar, honey? If everybody listening to just gave $1, we would have $1 million.
That's right.
So please help us reach our goal by our 3,000th show. And we're going to be looking back at 16 years of podcasts, 3,000 shows with some of our most beloved guests, people you haven't heard from in a while.
That's right.
Lots of fun things planned, only possible with your support. So go to gofundme.com/feastoffun3000. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.